Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints here on BBSRadio.com. This is May the 13th on the West Coast. Already it's May the 14th on the East Coast. And as usual, we have an excellent show lined up for you this evening. And I've been sort of promoting the fact that we are going to be dealing more and more with spiritual matters, spiritual issues, and even spiritual solutions on this show as we reveal the truth in government, in politics, in the pharmaceutical industries, the oil companies, the banking fiascos that are occurring, and basically just overall human consciousness. God has given us many spiritual gifts, and very few of us use them or even acknowledge them. Sometimes just in a passing fancy, we rely on those that have discernment to tell us what's going on when actually God speaks to all of us all the time. The big question is, can we listen? Can we hear his voice? Tonight's guest is a minister. He is the founder of Vine Ministry International. He publishes the Watchman Report, and he has been a guest on literally hundreds of radio and television shows. His name is Pastor Matthew Stephen, and he is our guest tonight on Evident Footprints. Pastor Stephen, good evening and welcome.
Thank you very much, Don, and it's good to be on your show this evening, and thank you for the opportunity to come speak tonight.
Well, we're very delighted to have you. I had first heard about you through a good friend of mine, very spiritual and Christian man, a God-fearing man, one who himself has been a minister and is associated with ministers across the country, and he was very impressed by the accuracy of your prophecies. Before we actually go into what some of those prophecies are, would you like to share a bit about your background, how long you've been in the ministry, and what led you along that path?
Sure, that'd be fine. That'd be great. I basically have started off in 1979, and I was in the military at the time, and I came to the Lord and in 79, and from the very first time when I came to the Lord and I had repented of my sins and became a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, the Lord started to immediately... from that time forward, started to speak not only to me, but, you know, it just seemed like everything was, what was going on was that he was using me and praying for people. I started to go out, and you know, I was in Germany at the time, started praying for the lame, the blind, that type of thing, and started seeing healings of, you know, people getting healed overseas. And in the time of that, I turned to some believers, told them about Ronald Reagan becoming president and would change defense history and almost so that would be assassinated and in the Middle East, and that both of those events happened, and I got to thinking, wow, Lord, I mean, I didn't ever heard of anything called prophecy or prophets or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, I was a young believer in the Lord, and I was still learning the academics of the scriptures, and as a matter of fact, the man that came to me and led me to Jesus told me that, because I had hurt my back, and he said, his name was, he goes, hi, my name is Brother Walter Vaughn. He goes, you know, Jesus can heal you. And I was kind of like, who? You know, and it was kind of an interesting thing. It was because, you know, I went to this place, I prayed, and I got on my knees and repented of my sins and cried out to God. And I didn't even know God had a son named Jesus, you know, kind of thing. That's about kind of how the reality of it was. And then they said, and all you got to do is read this book. I said, what is it? He says, it's a book about Jesus. I said, he's got a book out, you know, and it was kind of like, okay, yeah, it's called the Bible. And I said, really? And so I started reading the Bible, and I mean, reality, that was the truth. And I just kind of thought about this, and so that was how my life started. And I came back to the United States in 1981, and in 1981, As I came back to the U.S., I started to apply myself in the scriptures continually. I actually took some Bible classes overseas in Germany, but then I came back and started really applying myself in the scriptures, and I got involved in the Vineyard Christian Fellowship movement. And a little later on, I became I pastored a small Vineyard Christian Fellowship, and under John Wimber and in the Vineyard movement, and that's pretty much how that all started. So from there, my whole life just continued to spring forth, and from the Vineyard into the Kansas City prophetic movement, and so we can kind of go from there. And you know, if you have another question on that, I can elaborate a little more. But that's
I find it remarkable that you were in the military and that this happened to you either before or about as you were about to leave the military, And I take it that you didn't have a Christian upbringing as a young man.
No, I was kind of I did not have a Christian upbringing. I was kind of a hippie kind of guy, and I caught the last year of the Jesus movement thing is what they called it when I got saved, and but I did not have a Christian upbringing at all, and a very powerful encounter, though, with Jesus Christ as far as him being my Lord and Savior, and I just was so blessed in, you know, and having the Lord in my life. So kind of very interesting, but that's true. I did not have that Christian upbringing, and I was very young and came to the Lord. So interesting.
Well, as you may recall off the air very recently, I shared some of my experiences with the Lord, and I wanted to point out that those of us that have had such experiences know the sound of his voice. We know when he speaks to us, and it's not always something that you hear in your mind or in your ears, but usually something that you feel in your heart that manifests itself into a thought form or into visions. I mean, he can outright just give you visions that you have no control over. You rub your eyes and shake your head, and it doesn't go away. In fact, it intensifies. Have you had that similar type of experience yourself?
Yes, Don. That's a good point you brought up there. I have. I receive visions and dreams. I do hear the Lord speak to me. I have a lot of things that sometimes just rest in my heart and just get a very strong impression, and the Lord will speak through different things through his word to me. For instance, speaking through his word to me, one day back in 2002, I was sitting there, and as I was reading my word in the scriptures, I was in the book of Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, where it says that where it says that 2,300 evenings, days, and nights, are you familiar with that passage of scripture there in Daniel?
Yes.
And okay, well, in the scripture there where it says that, it's in Daniel chapter 8, and where it says, and he said, and this is Daniel 8 verse 14, he says, and he said to me, it will take 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the sanctuary will be consecrated or reconsecrated, in a sense, as what it says in there. Anyhow, that I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me about Daniel chapter 8. I had put my face in the Bible, literally, on my face for 5 solid years in the book of Daniel, and I began to weep and weep with my face literally in the Bible with the book of Daniel open on my face, crying out to God every time I came to the book of Daniel, and I just read it for 5 solid years, and I just said, Lord, if Daniel was weak, and he was perplexed, and he couldn't understand, then how can I understand, you know, if he couldn't understand? And so as I was crying out to God, and the Lord started to speak to me about Daniel chapter 8, and I saw this, as the Lord was telling me that America was this goat, in a sense, that was going to go over and attack Iran, in a sense, okay? And I got to thinking, okay, Lord, is that what are you saying here? We're going to go into Iran, and And this is a very, very strong word. Listen to this very quickly. It's Daniel chapter 8, verse 5. It says, as I was thinking about this, suddenly a goat with a prominent horn between his eyes came from the west, crossing over the whole earth without touching the ground, and he came towards the two-horned ram I had seen standing beside the canal, and charged at him in great rage. And I got to looking at this, and I said, Lord, are you saying we, America, is going to go across the land without, from the west, touching without, you know, the whole earth without, with our armies, without touching the ground in a sense, and attack Iran? And as I was looking at this thing, and he said, yes, my son. And I looked over, and as I continued to read, I got to verse 14 in this 2300 evenings. And just before me, in this older Bible that I have several Bibles. I have quite a few tons of Bibles. I've got everything from everything to King James to all the way back to the old Genevas of 1560s. I'm a Bible collector.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've done Bible history and for 5 years of research on scriptures of Bibles and stuff, where they all came from, the different text lines. But in there, it says in this 2300, flashed before my eyes. In this one Bible, it has it in numerical numbers, 2300. And it flashed in front of me as 2003 instead. And I said, and I wrote a question mark by it, and I said, you're telling me we're going to go and attack Iran in 2003? And he said, yes, my son. Well, I prophesied that word, and it happened in 2003, and that Bush would be reelected in 2004. So that's some of the ways that things God speaks to me sometimes, just right through his word. He'll just give me these impressions. I'll look at it. He'll speak to me. And I just saw that happen, and so it took place. But a lot of things. I got like 911. I call it the 811 dream. 1 month before 911, I had this dream, and I wrote about it in the Watchman Report letters, and it's called the 811 dream. And I sent a 4-page document to the White House, to George Bush, and told him this was going to happen before it happened, a month before it happened. So, yeah, it comes different ways.
I think you misspoke when you said Iran. I know it's late. I think you meant Iraq. Yes. Okay. Just wanted to clarify that for
Thank
the
you.
Listeners out there.
Yes, listeners. Sorry about that. It is late. I just went through major programming all weekend long. I was on Daniel Ott's show for 3 hours. I was on David Eel's show yesterday for 2.5 hours, on Sunday for 2.5 hours on his show. I was on Watchman Radio that night, Saturday night also. I had quite a bit of busy programming this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting.
Still coming down.
It's interesting that you've been on Daniel Ott's show. That's one of the first radio shows that I actually appeared on as a guest.
Oh.
So there's a nice synchronicity there in our paths.
Oh.
It's interesting also that you studied the book of Daniel as you did. Now, I can't at all claim that, although it's one of my favorite books in the Bible. I particularly like Exodus, I like Isaiah, and the book of Daniel, and of course, all of the New Testament. But those particularly interest me because of the gifts that I have and understanding the symbology, because I also have had visions, although I keep them a bit more private. Lately, I've been a bit more outspoken about them, and I find it interesting to listen to someone who's really working more from a prophetic point of view, as someone like yourself, especially
right.
when you have an accurate record. Now, it would be interesting too to me that you mentioned 9/11 to the president, and yet 9/11 still occurred.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And we know many facts surrounding those attacks, and even the late 90s publication of the Project for a New American Century, where this was suggested that we do this. So this was really planned, and basically the Lord was showing you what was going to happen because it was planned. And
right. It was definitely a staged situation, and I've got a huge amount of information on that I'm going to be releasing on the website over something spiritually what the Lord showed me about 9/11. And how it really first occurred to me was that when God gave me this dream of what I call 8/11, 1 month before it happened, when when 9/11 came, and the day that it happened, and people were looking at the tragedy, and then the next thing you know, it's up on the news, it's on the computers, it's everywhere that whole week. And I'm sitting there looking at the computer screen that week, watching this whole thing after the occurrence of it of that day. And I'm seeing the Twin Towers, and I'm seeing the smoke, and I'm seeing the airplanes, and all this chaos and circumstances. And I hear, and I'm sitting there, and I hear the Lord say, "Look deep, my son, what do you see?" And I said, "Lord, I see the towers burning, I see the airplanes stuck in there, I see the tragedy, and I see people running." He goes, "That's the circumstances, what do you see?" And I said, "What, Lord?" He goes, "Where do the towers sit?" I said, "I don't know." He says, "Find out. I'm going to tell you something about this." And so I did a quick search real fast and found out the towers sat on Church Street and Liberty Street physically, the cross streets. And I started to proclaim that around the nation. I didn't hear anybody talking about it at the time, and I talked about it for quite a few years about that, about Church Street and Liberty Street. And I put it in my letters and stuff. And he said, "Tell the church they're going to lose their liberty, and tell America they already lost their liberty." And so I kind of thought that was interesting when that happened. Many events. I was down at NASA facility down in Louisiana in 97 and 98. And during that time, I'm working for on a classified project under this NASA government deal. And I took a two-week break, and I went up to Washington State, and I did a prophetic conference up there, speaking to about 500 individuals in this conference. And I took a road trip over to Montana with a rental car on that two-week trip, and I'm in the checking the hotel. I get in the shower, and I fall face down on the shower and just, you know, trembling before God, and I have this massive vision of this huge, gigantic, ugly, wicked storm hitting New Orleans in that whole area. And I lived, at the time, I rented a house down there on the five-mile bridge of the Slidell, Louisiana, right across the way there, right going into East Orleans every morning there to NASA. And so I come back, and I tell everybody down there. I started ministering in churches. I told the Vineyard Church. I told people all over the place. I got friends down there. I'm telling everybody at NASA about this vision that I had, about how this massive hurricane storm, this mighty-looking, ugly thing, came in and just started wiping everything out in massive floods. And as I told this one venue church this, the man looked at me and says, "You're wrong." He says, "That's not a storm." He says, that's the holy laughter coming out of Pensacola, Florida, for a revival." And I looked at the man and I said, "No, I'm not wrong. I know what God told me." I said, "You're wrong, and you need to repent, and you need to call the people to repent, or the blood's going to be on your hands. I know what I saw." Well, that was 7 years before Katrina, and here came Katrina. And that's what was being prophesied to them then. And so, you know, people don't hear sometimes in the day we lived on. A lot of things that happen, we see things go on, and we're, you know, just like I've been saying for the last so many months, I put it in the Watchman report. Actually, it's in the January 2nd report about China. And I'll pull it up real fast to you real quick, but this was something I said on the radios and talking about China. And let me get that pulled up real quick. And anyhow, and as I was sharing with people, I told China, I said that China was going to have a massive earthquake. And I felt it was going to be soon. And, of course, yesterday afternoon I get this thing and people are calling me and said, "Brother, that prophecy you just gave just came to pass." And I went, "What?" And they said, "China, the massive earthquake, 8.7, and there's like, you know, almost, well, they're saying there's going to be up to 30,000 people dead on this thing." But in the Watchman Report number 19, on January the 2nd, now, this was actually came out of the November Part 1 series of November 30th is when this was really done, but I broke it up in two parts, and the Lord said, "Wait." And I said, "Okay, Lord," and he said, "Put it out," and the first of the year. So I put it out on January 2nd, and it says this very words, "China will have massive uprisings and will be hit with financial and political troubles beyond measure. Part of its government will be divided over issues over issues of an all-out attack on America. So when you see the uprising take place and its government start to fall apart, it will not be long after that, America, watch out. Asia, including China, will have massive earthquakes, tsunamis, and floods, and will be hit at an all-time high, or this will be at an all-time high. And anyhow, it goes into longer than that. I've got the other part of China in this report, but I've talked about this earthquake coming, and so there it is. The other day, it happened. Just this past week, or this week, I was on Daniel Ott's show on Saturday, and I mentioned right on the show that I came out of the gymnasium that morning out of the steam room after working out, and I had this really ugly vision. It was just very, very dark. I saw this massive, you know, tornado storm coming out of the south, out of Oklahoma. And so I'm on the radio that evening, and I'm on Daniel's show, and I said I needed to share that this prophecy that the Lord showed me, because I believe it's very close. I think it's going to happen any time now. And I shared that I saw this, you know, storm tornado out of Oklahoma, and well, that's what happened. That evening, I think later on, of course, I didn't get it until the next morning, but someone said that evening there was a massive tornado that just happened the other day out of Oklahoma, hit part of Arkansas and Missouri, and it killed 22 people. And this is the kind of stuff that just happens to me all the time. So I just have to trust the Lord, whatever He's doing with it, because prophecy, as you're well aware of, Don, that as we know, and this is what I want to explain to the listeners, is that prophecy, you know, in the 80s, you would say things like, well, I see these things now kind of thing, but they're not really now. The nows are then, because I always hear people say, well, I think they're going to have now such and such. No, the nows are thens that were later. You know, they weren't nows then, or now. And so, and it's like, but the nows are nows. That's just what the Lord showed me. He told me this. He said, in 1993, I prophesied the California fires, and I waited 15 years for that to happen. In September of 2007, the Lord said, there's going to be fires in California in October, and there will be an earthquake followed by it. And I said, okay, Lord, so I'm declaring this in September to people. And my spirit man, when I first talked to Henry Gruber about it, you know, I told Henry, I said, Henry, are your children ready? You know what's going to happen? Things are going to start kicking off and massively in October. And I started telling Henry these types of things, and then I started sharing with people, you know, what was going on. And I was just trembling. I was just trembling for a week or so before I called Henry. Henry and I talked 12 times all the way until October the 8th, and he got on the plane to go to Japan. And I was trembling all month. And I knew something bad with this whole thing. As I continued to pray about it, the Lord said, the fires are going to happen in October, my son. And then the earthquake will come. So the next thing I know, here comes the fires. And the reason why that happened, folks, hear this out, is Arnold Schwarzenegger drew up a bill that was signed by him. And it's called SB 777. And most of you might be heard about this around the nation. I don't know, but that bill basically states about the little children and about the mother and father issues in schools and this type of stuff, and that that if a little boy thinks he's a little girl, he can go in the girl's bathroom, and it's okay. If the girl thinks she's a boy, she can go in the boy's bathroom. And if there's any molestation of kind of any sexual acts within those bathrooms, the teachers are to open up, if they open up the bathroom door and they see something going on, according to this bill, under those rights, they can't violate those kids' rights, in a sense, is what they call it, according to this bill, and they're to close the door and walk out. Now, this is kind of nonsense that's going on. Well, in the midst of that, the gays in San Francisco, the sodomites, came out, and they started to march in celebration of Arnold Schwarzenegger's bill. And the fire started up. They marched for 2 days in parade, wonderful celebration ideas, and on the third day there was a 5.7 earthquake off of San Francisco's coast. And so we look at this and we wonder, like, you know, Lord, what are you doing with this thing? Well, the reason I say this is because the intervals of prophecies from that time forward, the Lord told me, when you see that, that will be the time bench. That will be the time marker, the prophetic clock, and that the clock would start, and that this particular clock would take us into a 30 days of November, he said, and in that time, you're going to start to see these things unveil. And I will start three final pending warning judgment clocks, he told me, and starting in December 1st, all the way till December, January, February, which would take us to March 1st, and that would start the second prophetic warning clock of judgment. And right now, we're still in that second clock. June the 1st will come the third clock, and that's where we are.
It's amazing. Now, you and I have a friend, a mutual friend, whose name we will not mention on the air, who I recently warned about a potential false flag event. And it was on the cue of the release of these Bin Laden audio tapes. The audio tapes and the videotapes are merely signals that these New World Order Illuminati self-described globalists use as signals across the planet. And he asked me what event I saw, and I said, well, it's not been revealed to me. And I think a day or two later, I just said, expect devastation of some sort in China. Now, I didn't pay a lot of attention to what that would be, but it occurred. And now, this was within the past couple of weeks, actually. Say, within the past 3 weeks that I came forward with this somewhat of a prophecy, we'll call it. I wasn't as specific as you were, but I did mention China. So what we're doing here is just affirming that the Lord speaks to us in different ways. And for my purposes, he told me what I should know. Now, maybe I could spend more time in prayer, more time in repentance, and have that gift open further, but it might interfere with the research I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just fantastic that he's given you that gift to see these things. Now,
well, yeah.
What do we do with that?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Moses said, I would all God's people be prophets, even though not all are going to be. Now, I don't call myself anything. I don't have a title to anything. I'm just like, you know, when they came to John the Baptist, they said, are you the prophet? He said, no. Are you the Elijah? He said, no. And to me, I'm just a piece of dust out here crying out in the wilderness. And I'm just like, you know, Lord, I'll do whatever you call me to do. But here's the key. Everybody is called at different places in the body of Christ. And, you know, there's hands, feet, arms, legs, whatever, and they all have different parts of the body, but yet they make up the same body in one body. One person may have a dream, and one person may have a vision, and that person that has a dream is not any more less, you know, less important or less significant than anything else than, say, what I would get, in a sense. It'd be just as very important as much as what I would get, because mm-hmm. that's what God gave that person. And we have to understand that it all belongs to Him, it's all His, and that God can give to whoever He is, He wills, it says in the Scripture. And He gives to His children good gifts, but He speaks to everybody. And the key is are we listening? The key is that, you know, what God wants each and every one of the listeners to do tonight, what He wants His people to do, all of us, is continue to cry in Papa's lap, to go up and sup with Papa, just spend time with Papa, get back into the Word of God, and begin to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to the church. That's why it says in Revelation 3:22, you know, to hear what the Holy Spirit says to the church. And, you know, and we have to understand that God wants to speak to us. We are the church, and He continually wants to speak. And at some time or another, some people He speaks to a little more often than the others. Some people He speaks in more depth than others. Some people are, if you look at the prophets of old, they were speaking to nations, to governors, kings, queens, and they also spoke to the children of Israel. And but they, you know, some prophets had missions that were commissions for over nations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we see that throughout time. We see them going to, you know, like Moses going to the prince, he's going to so-and-so, to the governors, he's going to whoever, he's going to Pharaoh, and the king's in Pharaoh's court, you know, and Daniel You know, he's dealing with, you know, Babylon. He's dealing with the whole kingdom of Babylon and stuff. And so, and some people are called to be just in a city or in a local church or whatever it is. And it all depends on what the calling is in their life. But the key is that it's the same Lord Jesus Christ that gives to all, and he gives to those who cry out to him, in a sense, and he gives to whatever he desires to give to them. Now, just because they don't hear as much doesn't mean that, you know, they're related. I mean, I know little old ladies that are great intercessors for God that are mighty before God. It makes me look ashamed almost, you know. It's like, you know, they could pray heaven down, and it's like, you know, you think, gosh, that's a godly lady, you know. Lord, how come I can't get that close to you, you know. And it makes you wonder sometimes, you know, and it's like, but, you know, it's a matter of just spending time with Papa God and reading his word and breaking bread and worshiping Jesus and supping. And what my whole thing has been is getting prostrate before God on the floor and just weeping and weeping before God on my face or on my knees before God and spend hours there. I mean, I don't go and ask of him. I don't go and say, okay, Lord, you know, come in or start getting the Bible out, trying to thumb through pages. I just go and spend that time with him, you know. I have not come to ask of you, Lord. I've just come to be with you and, you know, and sup with Papa and just cry out to Jesus. And he'll speak to us. He wants to speak to us. That's what he created us, to have communication, to have that fellowship and relationship with Jesus himself.
So, yes. Yeah. Now, the issue of repentance, some Christians I know have an issue about repenting. Let's say, expressing gratitude to the Lord for everything that we have, because we have the gift of life. I mean, if you're alive to talk about it today, there's reason to celebrate right there. The love of God and the love he gives us and the love he channels through us to give to others. I mean, he makes us messengers, and messengers don't just deliver messages, they also bring gifts. And the greatest gift that we could recognize is our oneness with the Lord, and the fact that we have sinned, that we do make mistakes, and that those sins have already been paid for. Now, beyond that, what does the Lord tell you about how we can effectively repent?
Well, you know, God honors a broken and contrite heart, you know, and, you know, there's not a, you know, we see all this kind of nonsense going around in the nation today, and it might be a little bit on the subject here, but, you know, we see a lot of nonsense going around in the nation today, this so-called Todd Bentley revival idea, and it's a very controversial subject, and I try to approach it properly, but, you know, it's, when you start seeing men that run around doing what they're doing, and they have a show of pride and arrogance about them sometimes, and they do the things they do, and they use Jesus' name, and there's counterfeit miracles, and, you know, these people are flocking down with gold dust and feathers flying out of the air and stuff. You know, what God is really saying is, you know what, I've come for those that are humble and meek. You know, I've come for those that have a broken and contrite heart before me, and, you know, God can work through that. And effectively repenting is the term repent is a good thing, folks. You start hearing things like the prophets are showing up and saying, repent, you know, here comes a lightning bolt and that kind. Yeah, but the point is that it's a good thing. Why? Because if you repent, you get to live. If you don't repent, you die. It's pretty simple. And the thing is that as we repent before God, it's turning from whatever you have done. I don't care if you're listening to me tonight and you're dabbling in pornography. I don't care if you're listening to me tonight and you got out against your brother. I don't care, you know, unforgiveness or some kind of anger issue or some kind of whatever issue this might be in your lives, folks. Repenting is that whatever it is, it's a habit that you had or you have this problem or that kind of, you know what, it's just a sin. So we repent of the sin, we turn from it, and we no longer go back to it. And we ask God to forgive us, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, it says in the scripture. And so we turn from that, and so it's as simple as that. It's like, you know, they came to Peter and all these guys, and, you know, on the day of Pentecost, and And they said, what must we do to be saved? And Peter basically said, it's simple, you know, in a sense. You know, he told him, he said, repent, you know, and ask Jesus Christ into your heart forgiveness of your sins and repent of your sins and get forgiveness of your sins and be baptized and, you know, and that whole thing. And you know, it wasn't a how-to 40-week study here. It was repent. Today's now is the day of repentance. Today's day now is the day of salvation. And we repent of the problems, you know, the sins that we have, and we turn to Jesus. And so it's pretty simple, cut and dry, but I mean, it's the process is that repentance is that David was a man after God's own heart, and he constantly prayed to God, and he constantly wept, and he constantly, daily, repented of his sins. So, there it is.
Well, thank you for that clarification. I guess at this point, I'd like to hear what message you might bring forth, and this could be a prophetic message if you so choose, something that you feel is important beyond what we've just discussed right now, that can let's say clothe God's people in the armor of God.
Amen. Well, and that's true, and that's a good subject there, and I'm glad you brought that up, because we need to understand about God's righteousness and his wisdom and understanding and discernment of different levels of stuff that's going on as far as, you know, where we are today as a church. I want to say, folks, that we are in a very vital, crucial time in history, in the nation, in America, and in the world right now. I mentioned about this Chinese earthquake deal, and I just got back from a trip in April. I was up in the Great Lakes and Ohio area, and up where you guys are from up there, and I went all the way to the Statue of Liberty in New York. And when I was up there, the Lord, I have a cedar staff I take with me, and I go places wherever God calls me to go and strike the land. And he says, strike the land. It's a long story, but it's something not really taught in American Christianity 101, but it's taught throughout the Bible, and these men had staffs with them. I mean, disciples had their staff, as Jesus did. Bacchus, the prophet in the New Testament, had his staff with him. And, you know, Moses had a staff, and these guys had their staffs and stuff. And one of the things, if you do a study on the staff and the rod in the Scriptures, you'll find out it's with power and authority, and that these men used this, and it wasn't so much the piece of wood, it was the power of God working through all that. As Moses took his staff, for instance, and he struck the Nile River, and it turned blood red. And he held it up and declared the power of God as a sea parted in the Red Sea. The authority of God, it was God's authority through that. It's not so much the piece of wood, but it was a symbol in the Scriptures that was from cover to cover. And anyhow, so I took this staff and I struck the Great Lakes with it, and I had already been out to the West Coast in the Pacific Ocean area and dealing with the state capitals and the whole thing out there, and talking about end time judgments. And as I took the staff, the Lord gave me a word and said, I'll confirm this by an earthquake. And so he said, proclaim, shake and quake America. And I took the staff and I struck the Great Lakes, I struck the ground, and it's a long prophecy that I had over the Great Lakes and over the region of that and for America itself. But as I struck the ground and I said, shake and quake America, within 14 hours there was that 5.4 earthquake in the Midwest there that shook 14 states, shook the skyscrapers in Chicago and the Great Lakes, and buildings there were shaking from it. And, of course, it hit the New Madrid fault line, they said, as far as that the shaking that went right down. They found out that was part of the disruption there. Anyhow, the point I brought that up for was this, is that I mentioned all that on the Daniel Ott Show, and Daniel told me yesterday, we talked on the phone, and he said a person called in and told them that where Matthew Stephen was talking about the whole Midwest earthquake thing and shake, you know, striking the Great Lakes, is that in Indiana, and that was part of one of the states there, but in Indiana, if you took a deal right through the center of the Earth, it came out from there in the United States of Indiana through the center of the Earth, right where China is, right where this earthquake actually struck in China, which I kind of thought was rather interesting. He brought that up to me on the phone. But he said someone called in and told him that, and so I thought that was interesting. But the reason I say these things, folks, is this, is that what God is trying to do in America, and what he's not trying to do, but what he is doing in America as far as the judgments go and the things that are going on, is that he is tired of this whole mess that's happening, that he's looking down from the heavens and he's seeing all this stuff. He's seeing the apostate churches. He's watching the sodomites run throughout the land. He sees the 60 million babies in dumpsters across America, that America has killed these babies with abortion. And he's watching the wicked lawmakers of America. He's watching the corruption. He's watching Bush trying to divide up the land of Jerusalem and Israel itself. He's watching from the heavens all this corruption on the earth. He's seen the massive slaughters and the church burnings in Kenya, and he's watching the massive slaughters of ethnic cleansings and going on, and the different horrifying scenes that are women, children being slaughtered in different countries. He's watched his saints be martyred for Christ in China and Russia as they bring the gospel, and over in the Middle East in the 1040 windows. He's watching from the heavens, and he's seeing the perversion. He's seeing the church in lasciviousness in America. He's watching that you look at the church and you look at the world and you can't tell them apart almost sometimes. And God is trying to take and purify a remnant bride and say, come out from among them, my people, and touch no unclean thing. And in the midst of this, he's watching all the nonsense that's going on of innocent sheep being sucked into these things with the dogs barking and roosters crowing in Toronto, or the holy garbage, unholy laughter thing of people uncontrollably falling on the floors all over the place in Pensacola, or now this thing with Lakeland and the big, massive controversy of the men that were all involved with this, including Bentley, all the way back to, Bickle, Jones, Joyner, Jackson, John Paul Jackson, and, I mean, on and on and on and on, all these men. And it's like, you know, Paul Kane, you know, I mean, he gets caught in a homosexual relationship, turns to alcoholism, claimed to be the father of that supposedly movement, and yet he's still involved in lascivious problems of this stuff. He's, you know, he's not been cleaned up from it. And yet they call him a holy man? And it's like, hello, what is wrong with this picture, folks? Why has the body of Christ been where they've been? And why are people flocking down here, falling after gold teeth fillings, that when God created you with real teeth, if he's going to give you a miracle, he's going to give you back the reality of what's real. He's not going to give you a replacement or a substitute for it. And, you know, there's not going to be a bunch of feathers flying out of here and gold dust all over the place. I don't see that in the scriptures, and I don't see it anywhere in cover with the word, with the prophets, with the early church, or anything. And, you know, we look at all this nonsense, and we're going, God bless America? Why is God going to bless America? Why do you think he's going to bless America? You think he's going to bless America? The vision I had in the Towers of Stone, and it's in on the website, it's in the book, on the Watchman Report, and the vision I had was these dumpsters that were coming out of Washington, D.C., all the way to Denver, and from Denver all the way to San Francisco on the two interstates in L.A. and coming back through. And I saw these thousands of dumpsters bumper to bumper across the nation. And I was taken out of D.C. into Denver on the mountainside, and I was watching these dumpsters, and I said to the Lord, Lord, what are these dumpsters? And why are the city, states, and counties on the sides of these dumpsters? Because that's what was on the side of the dumpsters, the names of city, states, and counties. And he said, come closer, my son, and look in the dumpsters. And I looked in the dumpsters, and I began to weep. As I wept, I saw the millions of babies. I saw millions of babies. Excuse me.
I'm on the radio.
I saw millions of babies in the dumpsters with their heads cut off, their arms cut off, and the blood was screaming out. And I just wept and I wept, and I said, oh, God. What has the church done in America? What has America done? Why? And he said, my son, for that one sin alone, my judgment is just and righteous, and I can destroy America. And of course, the vision's very long, but I wrote it. It's called Towers of Stone Vision. But, you know, we look at this stuff and we say, God bless America. How much of that blood is going to be on the church's hands, folks? How much is the blood going to be on our hands? It says righteousness exalts a nation. And I don't see that a whole lot of righteousness in this nation, because this nation's not very exalted right now. So there must not be a lot of righteousness. And you know, in the scripture says, Son of man, if a country turns their back on me, I will cut off its food and water supplies. I will send famine upon it. And America has less than 1.5 days of food supply right now. And if it hit the shelves today, the grocery stores would be empty in 1 hour if people panicked. 1 hour. Now, you say that can't happen. In Asia, when we were the ones that caused the setup of the Asian fall of 1997's Asian market crisis. And they had headlines. I've got the newspaper articles on a couple of them. In Korea, they were throwing their gold and their silver into the streets to try to get food. The grocery stores were empty in less than 1 hour. They couldn't even get a loaf of bread. And people were trying to buy food, and they couldn't even get it. And there was riots and chaos. Folks, we better wake up. You know, I talked about this in 96 about cannibalism coming to America, and people laughed about it in the churches. And 2 weeks later, North Korea reported cannibalism in their country. And because the government was starving the people and giving it to their military. And, you know, we look at these things. We talk about this. Don, you asked about the, you know, what are we talking about, the cloak of the armor of God, and more so in the cloak of righteousness of God with that armor as God's cloaking in our lives, covering us. And I see, you know, the scriptures are very clear about this. The reason I brought up this whole thing about, you know, the armor of God, and about this whole thing about the cloak of righteousness, is because today, as we look at the church in its current form, we see the church in sharp decline. Some of the and this is in Western Christianity mainly, some of the reasons of the church that has no impact on the world today is because the church is out of order. There's no holy wisdom. There's no holy discernment. There's no call for repentance and a fiery preaching. There's no hunger for God's holy word. The only hunger that I've been pretty much observing in this country are hungers of prosperity, of riches, and deception of divination that's been going on in our country today. And God is trying to wake up the church. He's trying to bring his bride out, to separate his bride from this nonsense. And God is getting ready to separate the sheep and the goats, folks. And the reason why he's trying to do that, and what he's going to do, not just trying, he's going to do that, is this. Is because if he doesn't act very soon to divide the sheep and the goats, most of these sheep are getting pulled sucked into this deception of these counterfeits. Okay? And the problem is the sheep are not discerning, undiscernment enough to know who the goats are. And that's what a big, big problem is with most of the sheep today. They're not discerning the true from the false. You start studying the true, and you'll spot the counterfeit in a heartbeat. That's like the bills. You know, they study the true bill. They don't study counterfeit bills. They study the true bill. And when they see the true bill, they can look and spot a counterfeit bill a mile away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have to understand this, that we need a great awakening in America today. We serve a mighty God. But when we look at the church in America, you would think God is dead with no power. I got news for you. I serve a God who is full of power and who is mighty. And, you know, we end up have to understand something, that Jesus was speaking, that there was going to be, and Paul talked to this, there is going to be a great falling away, and that falling away is taking place right now. But I also see what this falling away is taking place, is that God is raising up a remnant bride to bring forth an outpouring upon the land, because he's going to have a people that called by his name, purified, spotless, without wrinkle. He's going to have a purified bride that's going to walk with authority and power, but it's going to be in times of trouble and darkness, and that's where we're at right now in this hour, because the day is far spent and the night has now come upon the land. What we need today, folks, is we need a cry of the raising up the John the Baptist, the Moses and Elijah, the sons of God, the true people of God, the remnant bride of God, sons and daughters, a true holy people, and true one of the problems we have is everybody claims to be prophets in this land, and it's most of it's nonsense and immaturity. The prophetic has been anything but prophetic. What we need now is a true mark of these men's qualities, and this is the mark of these men's qualities. A call for repentance, a call for holy wisdom and discernment, a call for proper order back to the church again, a true call for true discipleship of Jesus. I was talking to a friend of mine today about discipleship, and when you see in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, and Jesus begins to call his disciples, we see that when Jesus called his disciples, immediately the first thing he did was authenticate his ministry. And it came with signs and wonders and power and authority over Satan and sickness, over disease, over the lame, the blind, and everything else. Jesus began to make a proclamation and a declaration of God's kingdom on the earth. And we see Jesus healing the sick and the lame and the blind and casting out demons. That was the very first thing that Jesus did in calling his disciples in the book of Matthew chapter 4. And, you know, if you take a look at that scripture in Matthew 4, you'll see that in there it says in you'll see in Matthew chapter 4 the calling of the disciples in verse 18, and you'll notice right away verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went out throughout Galilee, teaching in the sanctuaries and preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, healing the sick and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And the news went out about him and spread throughout all the land of Syria and throughout." And it, you know, it talked about right after that, it says, "And people that came that were ill and suffering with various diseases and suffering severe pains and the demon-possessed, those having seizures and paralyzed, and he healed them all." And so we see that, and immediately right after that, okay, so he calls these disciples, these newborn Christians. He doesn't try to bring them into American Christianity 101 and take them to the, okay, now if you sit around here with us and you be a goody little two thing and sit here and go through the 40 weeks of Romans with us, and we'll teach you some of our doctrinations of American Western view of Christianity, and we'll let you know that what you can do to fit in, and don't dare speak out or say anything, and definitely don't be, you know, doing too much beyond anything that we call you to do. Sit down, you know, stand up at first, sit down at third, give us your money, we'll see you next week. And we start to give people in America like a watered-down discipleship, and that's not how Jesus called these newborn babies, these Christians, these disciples. He called them right away with authentication of power, a proclamation of God's kingdom, his authority, and dealing with the lame, the blind, and dealing with the demonic instantly. That was what Jesus' message was in discipleship of kingdom power. And then he goes from there, and he starts to talk about their hearts. And he says, you know, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, you know, for they'll receive the kingdom of God. You know, blessed are those who mourn and weep, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth." And he starts talking about some characters here of what? Those who are broken and contrite heart, those who mourn and weep, those who are meek, those who are righteous, they'll be filled. You know, those who show mercy, they'll have mercy. Those with pure in heart, they'll see God. Those who are peacemakers, they'll be the sons of God. Those who are persecuted for the faith because of righteousness' sake, they'll inherit the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And so we see this, and then we look at this, and we go, what's wrong with this picture versus this Bentley thing going on today? Or the American church today? What's wrong with this picture of discipleship? And so we call out for God's presence and his power, and part of this character that I'm talking about here is a call for true discipleship, a call for God's true holy word to be spoken again with fiery preaching in America. Not like, you know, the reformers did this, the revivalists did this, but we don't see that happening in America today. We see a bunch of gold pockets and big crystal cathedrals. And we need a call for holiness today again, back to the land. And the eighth point to this thing here is called a preparation for places of refuge for the final pending judgment has already started. Because, one, people need to be spiritually prepared. Two, Jesus is our ultimate refuge and rock, but he also has places of safety for his people in times of destruction from the days of Noah in the ark to even go into the enemy's camp in Egypt, where, you know, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, where Jacob had to go into Egypt to go get food, and he tells his boys, go in and buy food, lest we die. Of course, you know, they were, you know, instead of Jacob going, you know what, God, we need you to rain down heaven, food here from heaven, because if not, we're all going to perish. He tells his boys to go into Egypt and go right in the midst of the enemy's camp and go buy food, lest they die. That's the exact words, word for word, quote, in the scriptures. And so we see this taking place where, you know, where God is all through generation. It says, and if you read in the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, he's always preserved a remnant. He's always preserved a community of God's people. And is always provided, even Habakkuk the prophet in the book of Acts, who stood up and said, hey, folks, there's a famine coming upon the land. Well, the church that was tied in the fishnet, the church that was sticking together, the church that was humble before God, guess what? God took care of those people. In the midst of that famine, there was a place of refuge set up for them. And God is saying that today, there's this time of destruction upon America, upon the land, and it's time to get ourselves ready to get right. Make no mistake about this, folks. We are at war, and in this fight, we see the kingdom of God in battle. We see the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. They're in contrary to one another. They're parallel kingdoms, and they're in parallel battle. They're fighting against each other. This battle is for your very soul, for the men, women, and children. This battle is the cry for repentance and holiness. For without this, no man shall see God. Okay? And though Satan is defeated, he is still a great power, and a power that can kill if left unchecked. And I mentioned this the other day, but in World War II, the military experts agreed victory for the Allies was assured on D-Day, June 6, 1944. The day of successful invasion, that invaded Nazi-occupied Europe on the beaches of Normandy. But because Germany failed to prevent the entrances of victory for the British and American Canadian forces was inevitable, but it took 11 months for the Allies to actually end the war. During this time, thousands of more people were lost, men that were lost their lives during this, the bloodiest battle the entire conflict had ever had. During the coming of V-Day, E-Day, May 8, 1945, was assured but not realized. We are in a similar position as Christians today, folks. The final full establishment of God's kingdom, with Christ as its head, was assured at the resurrection, but we have yet realized its fullness in the days in which we live. We, too, are soldiers in Christ's army. Paul instructs Timothy, endure hardships like us, like a good soldier of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3. There is a war yet to be fought, an enemy still capable of inflicting great harm if we allow him to. We must equip ourselves by allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and work through us to defeat the enemy. And so, you know, when we talk about armor and we talk about righteousness, we have to understand that, you know, how's that given? You know, is it something we go out and buy? No. Is it something, there's a price to pay for it? Yes, in a sense. Jesus gave us the ultimate price, that he gave his life and shed his blood for us on the cross and died for our sins. But you know, he made it very clear that the enemy will come and sift you like wheat. He also made it clear that the enemy will come in and steal, kill, and destroy. And that you must, in Ephesians it says that you're talking about stand guard and be watchful. And after you've done stand and watch, then you must stand and watch again. Because the enemy is out there to seek like a roaring lion prowling around whom he's going to seek, kill, and destroy, to devour. And so in the midst of this, we're looking at like, okay, this armor of God. You know, put on the helmet of salvation. You know, ask the Lord Jesus, you know, wash my mind with the blood of the Lamb. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. You know, let your feet be fitted jointly with the preparation of the gospel. You know, the gospel is a lamp unto our feet, it says in the scripture. It directs our path.
Amen.
And you know, there's so much to that, folks. And, you know, we got to cry out to God and start getting back into his holy word, and we've got to understand that this is a time and season that if we don't get on our faces and spend time with Papa, not only is the physical tsunami going to suck all the people out to sea on the West Coast and the one down in the Gulf Coast that I saw, but that tsunami is going to come and sweep you away too, no matter where you live.
Brother Matthew,
God's holy blood.
You mentioned seeing these images of or vision of trains filled with all the babies that have been aborted. And I often talk about the illusions of these political campaigns. And it seems like every 2 or 4 years, we hear this mantra from the politicians that they're going to address abortion. Are they pro-abortion? Are they anti-abortion? It's as though they're dangling a bone in front of us. And I picture it as a bone on a string, and they're using it to hypnotize us.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the church and the unfaithfulness of the church. It's the church abiding by government regulations and identifying with the material world. The church to many of these organizations represents a tax shelter and increase in income, and so they are going to choose that and kowtow to the government's laws regarding the taxes, and then they are restricted by what they can say. So they have made their bed, so to speak, and that now they have to sleep in it. There are several well-known television evangelists, and I really don't have a problem mentioning them by name. One is very pro-Israel and pro-attacking Iraq, attacking Iran, preaching this openly, and where is the line drawn for hate speech? You know, they create these laws about hate speech, and here we have a minister in southern Texas, the tip of Texas, promoting war. We have another one in Virginia Beach that goes on television demanding that the military or the intelligence agencies take out a particular leader of an oil country in South America, and of course he can get away with that. To me, these people are hypocrites. I don't know how you see them, but I know what doesn't seem to fit what's in my heart and what God shows me and most other people that I know that know God frown upon this and know that's how many of the Christian society worldwide is being hoodwinked by these people. They amass millions of dollars on an annual basis, hundreds of millions of dollars, and yet they are exempt from the laws that are intended to oppress the rest of us. So you are very correct in saying that there's a lot of hypocrisy, although you didn't use that word. I see it as hypocrisy, and it's blasphemy as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. That's a good point, Don. And you know, it's like you know what you brought up. And you know, I that ministry out in Virginia Beach out there. I supported that ministry out there for 17 years, and because of my compassion from my heart to see Operation Blessing and to see the things that happened about feeding people and taking care of the medical things and doing the stuff they did. But through the years, I started noticing that it became from that to more entertainment to more, you know, show and tell and isn't it wonderful and now we got Money Monday and we got this thing going on and we've got that. And what really is saddened to me is that a man named John Wimber, who made mistakes on some things, and there's no doubt that he made some mistakes. He was a very good friend of mine. He's the founder of, basically, he wasn't the founder, but he became the founder, as everybody thought. But it was Ken Gullison, who was the founder of Vineyard Christian Fellowships, who turned the vision over to John Wimber to say that he was the father of the movement of Vineyard Christian Fellowships. Who, you know, try to do what was right on things, but men came in with a bunch of Mideastern religions and all kinds of baggage from seminaries and garbage that they brought in with them and started polluting the Vineyard movement and getting around John to change his thoughts of this and change his thoughts of that. And John didn't, you know, he was trying to be lovable and compassionate with people. And it came to a point that, that you know, he wasn't disciplining his sons. He had the sins of Eli, in a sense, not disciplining the sons. And John started making some mistakes on some areas, and, you know, his heart was troubled about the church and the state of the church in America as it was. And one of the things that John did do right, he did a lot of things right. I mean, the guy was a good man, but, I mean, I know there was a lot of bad press written up about the man and some of the problems he did. And, sure, he did make some mistakes, but there was a lot of stuff that was written up that wasn't true. Anyhow, what John did do is he tried to discipline the Kansas City prophetic movement under Bickle and them guys as they submitted to him and his leadership. And when Vineyard embraced that Kansas City thing, things started going downhill worse. But one of the things John did do is they all ran up there and decided, you know, Bickle and the whole gang and Bob Jones and all, they all decided to run up to that Toronto thing with the dogs barking, roosters crowing idea. And when they did, John Wimber had told John Arnett on that Toronto Vineyard thing up there that, you know, this is demonic spirits of animal manifestation. These are demons. This is not biblically correct. You need to repent of this. And they basically told John to take a hike. We've got the show. We got the circuits. We got the fanfares, and we don't need you. And John turned around and made a public report in Charisma magazine in 1995, and he ousted the Toronto Vineyard out of the Vineyard movement and said, that's it. I'm not going to have it any longer, and he put them out. And, of course, they went on with their little show. The reason I brought that up is that this Virginia Beach ministry down there embraced this Toronto garbage, and I wrote into them a couple times on it, and they were just basically like, well, you know, we don't really care, you know what you're saying, in a sense, but and I told them it was wrong, and I said, how can you embrace what's false? And so they continued to embrace this type of stuff, like they're embracing this Todd Bentley thing of this Lakeland Revival garbage that's going on, and, you know, it's junk. And, you know, I pulled out of that Virginia Beach ministry thing here a while back. I've stopped supporting them completely. And one of the reasons I did is because his son Gordon was on the show that day and said that we don't need to hear about judgments or these doom and gloom prophets in America. And I thought, oh, we don't. Okay. No wonder we got issues here. We're going to embrace the heresy of the gold filling and the dogs barking thing, but we don't need to hear from the true prophetic word of the voice of God to say repent of this wickedness and turn back to holiness and God's scriptures again. But we don't need to hear from that kind of stuff. And so when I heard that, I said, God, how could men do this? How can they look so, appear to be righteous, but yet they're in deception and they're embracing deception? And, you know, like, they're embracing this stuff right now. It's a false anointing, and it's a false healing. And the people don't understand this, that it's counterfeit, folks. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. I mean, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It speaks of these things in verse 9 through 12. If you will read that scripture, it's a very important scripture about the counterfeit, okay? What we have to understand about that is that Jesus prophesied this to us and spoke the word to us, you know, basically prophesied, but declared, I should say, these very things that would happen in the end days of about a great apostasy. And if you look at verse 9, it says, the coming of the lawlessness one is according to the work of Satan, with all power of signs and lying wonders, with all unrighteousness and deception among those who perish. Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they may believe, that they may be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had the pleasure in unrighteousness. And so he's saying, he's sending them a strong delusion. Well, they're believing the lie, folks. It's a counterfeit out there. And, you know, I address this on several programs. Michael Baudet has addressed it. Other people have addressed it. Henry Gruber won't touch it with a 10-foot pole either. David Wilkerson won't touch this thing. And, you know, it's like, you know, I gave over the last, I do America Beyond the Veil shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Moments of Truth, Spirit One broadcasting. But I gave over several radio stations over the last week and a half, 2 weeks about this, because I've had hundreds of emails coming in saying, what do we do, brother? What do you think about this? And, you know, it's like, you know, ask for holy discernment and wisdom. This is not a matter about beating these men up. It's a matter of loving them to tell them, repent, or judgment is going to fall in a greater way. And it's not up to me. It's not, you know, don't listen to what I have to say. This is in the Word of God, folks. Don't listen to Matthew Stephen about this. Listen to what the Word of God says about this. It's in His Word. There's no character, there's no integrity to this that's going on today in the nation. And when we understand this, and we understand all revivals began with humbleness, broken heart, like we talked about, contrite hearts, fasting and repentance and crying out to God. And God used those people in those early revivals. But this stuff we see today, we don't see any of that kind of, we see no characteristic of no integrity of that. We see no fruit of that whatsoever. And, you know, yeah, there's so much hypocrisy, like you're saying, Don, and so much counterfeit that's going on out here today. And it's like, you know, God is going to deal with this. And what the Lord told me was this. I'll share this prophecy with you quick. It's real short. And I'll just do one little part of it. And it's a small paragraph, and it deals with the death judgment that God's setting upon the church in America. Now you say that's crazy, but where's that in the Bible? Well, Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, there's a massive death judgment upon them real fast. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They were greedy. They kept money. They were filling their pocket, in other words, with gold in a sense. And you know what happened to them is Peter looked at them and said, you lied to the Holy Spirit. Fall over and die instantly. Those people died. Died. No coming back. Who were those people? Ananias and Sapphira, it says in the Scripture, was believers that were highly esteemed and counted worthy in the ministry. And they were highly numbered amongst the people as leaders, as people in the ministry that had character and morals, supposedly, which was at the time, presently. But they let greed into their heart. And God just took them right out instantly. He didn't even give them a chance to say, Peter's saying, well, if you don't repent now, you're going to die. No. He turned around and looked at them and said, you lied to the Holy Spirit, fall over and die, and they died. These men have had countless amounts of times in America to, you know, in this revival things and all the stuff that's going on, as they call revivals, whatever it is, Toronto things and the rest of it, to repent. And they've been brought up on all kinds of things. Even Rick Joyner, who's with him in bed on this stuff, he even stated out of his own documents on his own website the stuff that he wrote. And he wrote this very word. This is the very word that Rick Joyner wrote, quote, in February of 2004. We made aware that Paul Kane had become an alcoholic in April of 2004. We confronted Paul with evidence that he had recently been involved in a homosexual activity. Paul admitted to these sinful practices and was placed under discipline, agreeing to the process of restoration. Of course, they were just trying to cover their trails when they say this, because they're halfway in bed with all this stuff, and which three of us oversaw. However, Paul had resisted this process and then continued in his sin. With our deepest regrets and sincerely, Rick Joyner, Jack Deere, and Mike Bickle. This is out of the MorningstarMinistries.org press of his own thing, newsletter, in February of 2004, quoted by Rick Joyner. And yet, Patricia King and Todd Bentley sit on these screens, and these video clips are sent all over America, and tell people, oh, Paul Kane is such a holy man of God. Folks, wake up. The New Age dilemma goes deep. And there is all kinds of demonic spirits taking place here. What is God going to do with this thing? And this is part of some of the stuff that I'm not really going to go too much deeper into this about this whole situation, because I do believe in restoration. I do believe it very carefully to restore in love, but I also believe in calling that repentance. But I also believe on the other side of that coin, is God's going to send judgment. And this is what he told me last year, that we would begin to see things start to take place this year. Now, when he told it to me originally, He told me about Ananias the Sapphira thing back in 1996, and I prophesied that word to the churches. And they laughed about this, and the very church that I was in speaking that word, this man rose up, not only against the prophetic realm of what God was doing with this thing, but three other pastors, or two other pastors besides him, every one of them this was told to, what was taking place, all three of those pastors fell over and died. That one pastor was put out by the church. He came back a year later, and he said God told him to take back over the church. And after his nonsense of what he did on the prophetic realm of what happened when the elders decided that's enough of this guy, and he was secretly wanting to have a meeting with the people in the community, and that night against the other pastor that was actually currently in that church, and he went to go over to the meeting, and he fell over and died. So that was a confirmation to me that that prophecy the Lord told me back in 96 was going to come in the end days. This is what the Lord's saying right here, real quick. It's a small paragraph.
Okay.
Just for a second here, I'll read this. The Lord God Almighty has spoken very clearly about a death judgment that will hit the church in America. The true righteous covered by the holy blood of the Lamb will be protected. The main institutionalized church will be hit. This judgment will be sent by God. The churches, the blind leaders that are involved in this, will declare that the devil did this and that this is an attack by the devil. Wrong. It will be the hand of God. And in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, it says, "Hear, O America, what the Lord God has declared, and read." And then it says this in Jeremiah 8:7, "But my people don't even know my judgments. I say again to the church, this will be labeled that the devil did this. But the newspapers in America," this is the headlines, and you can write this down, you're going to see them in the newspapers across America. "The newspapers will read these headlines, these very words," and there may be some variations in different newspapers, but they're going to read these very words. "Death devil hits the church. This will be a great deception by these church leaders to keep the people tied into their buildings by telling them it's the devil that's doing it, so you got to stay with us. But God said, no, this is my judgment," and he's calling his holy bride to say, "Come out from among them." There will be a time during this time, though, of a great repentance that will take place, just like it did in Ananias and Sapphira's days. And the fear of God will come back into the people's hearts, just like it did in the early church in chapter 5 of Ananias and Sapphira, where many fell on their faces and they feared God. Of course, there was many who fled, but there was many who fell on their faces and feared God. That is what's coming to the church now. This is what's getting ready to happen. During this time, we will see a major breakout of power evangelism like the church has never seen before since the early church, with greater measure. During the same time, many so-called pastors will be removed and will fall over and die. The Lord God spoke this to me back in the mid-90s, and I won't go in any further into that prophecy, but it's in the Watchman Report. I just want to share that real quick with you.
Mm-hmm.
Before I zip my lips here for a second, let Don say something, sorry. But I wanted to share that with you folks just because this is happening, and I'm going down to the Gulf of Mexico. I'm leaving on the May 31st. I'm going to be in Dallas-Fort Worth for meetings, going to Houston for meetings. I'm going to be going into Louisiana all the way across from Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans for meetings, all the way into keep going across for different meetings, all the way into Jacksonville, Florida. I'm getting ready to put those dates on the website. And I'll be going down to Lakeland, where the so-called revival is going on. And this is what I was told by the Lord, and it's been real hard on me to do this. And I was woken up February, this was before this revival ever started, back in February 2008, this year, woke up at 2:22 in the morning, and God began to show me the scriptures about the devastation of the earth, but he also began to show me about Jeremiah chapter 23, I believe it is, and about the blind leaders, the pillow prophets, the false whatever teachers, pastors, whatever out there. And God spoke this. He said, "My son," and it's a letter that's going to be released in the prophecy, but it's a prophecy about death judgments, and it's talking about calling them to repentance in the nation of America, not just that revival thing, the church that is an apostasy, to call the church for the final call, to say this is your final warning. They've had warnings through the years of repentance, but this is what the Lord's saying. This is your final warning. If you don't repent, death judgment will come upon them. And this is what the Lord spoke us. And he says, you're going to take your staff and you're going to call them to repent. When they don't repent publicly, you'll call it to repentance and tell them it's their final warning, and you'll strike the ground, and many of these leaders will fall over and die. Now, folks, this hurts my heart. This is a thing that makes me tremble anyhow. I tremble at God's word, but this is not an easy thing to do. And we're talking about death or life here. But it's a reality of what God is saying, enough is enough. He's not going to put up with this lasciviousness in the camp. When Moses came off the mountain, they saw it down in the camp. He's not putting up with it anymore. And all those people, the children of Israel, when they pulled the swords out, they died. There was no coming back for them. So that's where I'm at, folks. I know it's a heavy word of what we're speaking tonight, but, you know, what God's having me speak about this. But this is a message that America needs to wake up to hear in this hour, to return to holiness and back to God's word again.
Well, Brother Matthew, we're out of time. Actually, we went a little bit over, but we have the luxury of doing that.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine, especially when it comes to hearing a message from on high. I would like you to give out your web address, if you would, for the listeners, so they can visit your site, unless you prefer I do that.
Okay.
I can. And I would like you to close with a prayer for the listeners and for our nation and really for the whole world, all of God's people, if you would do that.
Amen. Okay, and it's propheticwatchmanvine.com. It's propheticwatchman, like M-A-N, vine, like the grapevine, V-I-N-E.com. Propheticwatchmanvine.com. And my contact information is on there, and the letters are on there. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. And I appreciate your prayers and any kind of support for this whole Gulf Coast trip. I don't get paid for what I do, and I don't ask for money, but I appreciate your prayers and support in any way that God may lead. And I want to go ahead and pray, and I pray God's mercy to the saints tonight to give you some words of encouragement. I know we've talked about a lot of different things here, but real quickly, I'd like to just say, like, folks, you've got some gifts and talents God has given you. It's time to take your place on the wall and be accounted for, to stand and sound the alarm where you are. God has given you gifts and talents, and, you know, take a bag of groceries down the street to the unemployed family down the street that has a couple children and they're losing their house, they're in a mortgage crisis, and show them God's love. You know, you've been living right down the street from them all these years. Go buy an extra bag of groceries and give it to them and knock on the door and just tell them you were thinking about them, that God loves them, and that's all it is. And you know what? That's the kingdom of God touching people's lives. That's what we need to be doing instead of worrying about flocking to some kind of gold dust idea. And take your place on the walls, because God has things that he's going to call you out. Many of you have been waiting for a move of God. Many of you have been waiting to be used by God. Well, step out and go do that. Go bring the groceries. Step out and go and pray for those that are sick and lame and blind. Go and step out and feed the poor and reach out to the needy where you are. And have compassion upon people. Give them God's love. Show them Papa's love. Let them know the light is shining. And so, Father, I pray by the blood of Jesus Christ that you call these listeners out tonight. You call the people out in America, God. You call your remnant bride out, and that you save the souls of those that need to be saved, God, because you died for them, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that we as people would make you known in the nation, that those people may be saved, that they can hear you, Jesus, and see you, and they can see your love. And, Lord, I pray for the listeners. I pray for the people. I pray for this broadcast going on tonight. Lord, I pray, God, for your blessings and your love. And I pray, God, that you'd increase your visions and dreams and revelation upon your people. I pray, Father, that you give them holy discernment and holy wisdom and understanding, and that they have a deep passion for you and your holy word again, Jesus. Give them a fire in their hearts, God. Light the fire back in their hearts again, because many of them are dying in a dry and thirsty land, weary, and they're hungry, God, for your word. Lord, give them that hunger for your word again. Pour it forth like wellsprings of life, God, into their hearts. And, Lord, I pray for your blessings. I pray, God, if they don't know Jesus tonight, that they would repent and come to Jesus Christ tonight, those that are listening out here that need to hear about the kingdom, that need to see Jesus' love because he shed his blood for you. And I pray, Father God, that you would manifest your holy presence and your power on this earth, God, that you would raise up your holy bride, and your bride would go throughout the earth to make your name known, Jesus, and great salvation would take place, God. I pray, Lord, your blessing now, and I pray the blessing on these listeners and those that are hearing, and that the call would sound forth and the trumpet sound would go forth and the people would listen and take heed. And I pray your blessings and I pray your love in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen, and so be it. Thank you, Pastor Matthew Stephen, for being on Evident Footprints tonight and bbsradio.com. And I want to let the listening audience know that Pastor Stephen will also appear again next week, Tuesday, May the 20th, for just another heart-wrenching and prophetic word from God himself. And hopefully you will have some brighter message for us. And I'm not saying that you're at all speaking out of darkness. You are definitely bringing some heavy information forward tonight, and it's going to set a lot of people back on their heels, I'm sure.
Yes.
And so we'll continue to follow your advice and promote the idea of repentance, that it is a necessity, that it is a requirement for God's people to turn back to him and stop following all of this chaos and madness.
Yes. Well, thank you, Don. I appreciate it, and I appreciate being on your program tonight, and thank the listeners for listening, and I pray God's blessings that as God opens their ears, their eyes, and their hearts to hear and see what God's doing, and I thank you for your time. I appreciate
well,
being
I thank
on the
you. Yes, I thank you again, and we appreciate what you're doing and your courageous stance, and I look forward to next week's interview also.
All right. So well, I appreciate that.
You
thank
have
you
a good week.
Much.
You're
thank
welcome.
Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. God
okay.
bless you. Have a good night.
Right. Good night. Bye-bye. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest was Pastor Matthew Stephen. Again, visit his website. It's Divine Ministry International. The web address, www.propheticwatchmanvine.com. And we'd like to thank Seth Hendrick for doing a great job on the sound tonight, and Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. In the meantime, have a wonderful, peace-filled, light-filled, and love-filled night, and a good night.